Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Usually when we think of the word prayer, it's used with an idea of something that might be a slight hope or maybe just a wavering chance. He doesn't have a prayer. She doesn't have a prayer. We've heard it used that way. And yet when we look through Scripture, we see a different definition of prayer. In fact, prayer is incredibly important to those who love God. We find out in Acts chapter 2 that's one of the things that the early church devoted themselves to, beginning in verse 41 of that chapter. So then those who were teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In fact, when the Apostle Peter would be thrown into prison, Acts chapter 12 describes that the church was praying fervently for him. That was an idea of an intense prayer that was being done by Christians. And as we read through that chapter, we find out that God released Peter from prison. And so when we pray, we come before God, and there are several things that we do. We see those in Scripture. When we pray, we thank God for what He's done for us. Many of the Psalms that we read about in the book of Psalms are just filled with praise to God and gratitude for all that He's given the psalmist, even in difficult times. We give thanks when we pray for God's blessings. Now, if we tried to stay here this morning and to name every blessing that you and I enjoy, we would be here for hours and we would miss at least half of the things that God has given us. There are so many blessings we have, it's hard to even keep track of all of them. And yet when we come before God in prayer, it's important to thank Him for what He's given us. We also see the example in Scripture of Christians coming to God in prayer and confessing their own sins. Not only do we confess to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, but we confess the fact that we're sinful people. That there's so many times in which we've fallen short, and as we do that, we're reminded of God's love for us. We know that God is faithful to forgive us, which is why we bring those sins to Him in prayer. We also ask for things when we pray. We ask for health for those who are hurting. We ask for comfort for those who are grieving. And there are several times where Jesus tells parables that illustrate the importance of persistent prayer. God wants us to pray to Him. And when we pray, we can be confident that God hears us. Listen to the way it's described in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we asked from Him. We know when we pray that God hears us. Now, it's a powerful thing to come before the throne of God in prayer. If you've ever had the opportunity to meet someone who was maybe an important leader and had to go through some security to get to that meeting, or it might be that you met someone famous who had kind of a group that they traveled with that was security, and you had to go through some security to have contact with that person. Can you imagine what it would be like to come before the throne of the Creator? And yet the message of the gospel is that in Jesus, we can have access to God. That's why when we pray, we realize we're praying in the name of Jesus. He is our mediator. In fact, that's the way we'd read it described in Romans 8 in verse 34. Christ Jesus, He who died, of God, who intercedes for us. Later on, when we read the book of 1 Timothy, we find out that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. It's an incredible privilege to pray to God, but it wouldn't be possible without the sacrifice of Christ. And so when you hear us pray, we pray in the name of Jesus because we understand that that's the only way we have access to the throne of God. Because we know how important prayer is in Scripture, we always dedicate time in our worship together for prayer. And so we'll have one of our men who will come to the microphone and lead us in a public prayer. And as we do that, everyone is invited to join in that prayer, to be silently reflecting on what is being said. But just as we mentioned with worship and song, in our hearts to be focused on the words of the prayer. And so as we come before God, we're reminded of what an incredible blessing that prayer is. And so I'd like for us to keep these scriptures in mind and these thoughts in mind as Andrew comes and leads our hearts and our minds in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come before you again this morning, humbling ourselves and praising you and honoring and glorifying you. Father, we recognize that you are the only true and living God, and you're worthy of our praise. Father, we recognize that you are the creator of this world and the giver of every good thing. Father, we're thankful that you love us and that you're a friend to us and that you've redeemed us. Father, we give you thanks for so many things. We're thankful for our physical blessings that you've given us, and we ask your continued blessings that you would continue to give us the things that we need each day. Father, but more importantly than these physical things and the temporary things that you've given us, we're thankful for the spiritual blessings we have through your Son. We're thankful for this opportunity, for this privilege that we have to communicate to you and to pray to you. Father, we're thankful that you hear our prayers and that you listen to us and that you answer our prayers. Lord, we're so thankful that you desire us to pray and you desire a relationship with us. And we ask that you would help us to desire that relationship and to draw near to you through our prayers. Father, we're thankful for your word and for revealing your will for us through your word. We ask for your help that you would help us to search your scriptures daily and to grow in knowledge so that we can be better servants for you. Father, we're thankful for your church. We're thankful for the church the world over, but especially this congregation here at Graymere. We're thankful for every person who is a part of it. And we ask your blessings on this congregation. We ask that you would bless us and the ministries that are going on here and the different works of service that many members are involved here. We ask that you would help us and bless us so that we can use the talents and the time and the energies that you've given us to serve in your church and to help spread your word to the lost and help serve our fellow man. Father, we're thankful for this day that we can come together and worship together as a family. We're so thankful for all those who are here today, especially those who are visiting with us, our friends and our family. We're so thankful that they have honored us with their presence and they've been an encouragement to us by their presence this morning, and we pray that we could encourage them in some way this morning. Father, we want to ask your blessings on those who are sick or those hurting and need your help in a special way. Father, we realize that you know their needs far better than we do, and you know who they are and what they need, and we ask that you would bless them in every way that you can. Father, please help us as well to be an encouragement to those that we see that are hurting and those we see that are struggling. We pray that we would help them in every way that we can as well. Father, we also want to ask your blessings on each one of us individually. We pray that you would give us strength, give us courage as we live our lives each day in service to you. Father, we pray that you would give us strength as we stand against temptation and as we seek to do your will. Father, we're so thankful for the forgiveness that we have through your Son, through the blood of your Son that gave his life as a sacrifice for us. We're so thankful that you've redeemed us, and we ask for your help when we do fail and when we do fall short. We know that we are imperfect and that we sin against you and that we fall away so often. But again, we're so thankful for the relationship that we have with you through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Father, we continue to ask your blessings this morning as we seek to worship you. We pray that our worship would be done in spirit and in truth and that it would be well-pleasing to you. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
49. You might need your book.
To God's Word as our direction when it comes to how we worship and, in fact, how we live our entire lives. In our combined Bible class, we're going to talk a little bit more about God's Word and history and some things surrounding that. But when we look in Scripture, we find out that God inspired individual authors. God led men along, carried them along, is the way we'd read about it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, in order to record His message for us. Listen to the way this inspiration is described in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. When we read all Scripture inspired by God for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, as Paul is writing this to Timothy, he's reflecting on the words of the Old Testament, which Timothy would have known and would have been taught from the time he was a young boy. And then we also see that carried on as God inspired the authors of the New Testament. And so I know when I look at Scripture that it will equip me for every good work. And whether it comes to being trained, whether it comes to being guided, or at times even corrected, God's Word is the guide He's given us to do that. That's why it's so important for us to read His Word. The author of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us about the power of that Word. Listen to the way the power of God's Word is described here. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's more than just a book. It's something that's powerful. It's a message from God that's dynamic and that is so powerful that we would compare it to something sharper than even a two-edged sword. I mean, just look at the imagery that's used there. We find out during the time of Jesus in the Gospels, we see evidence of what we know from history. There were places where Jews would gather to worship called synagogues. And part of reading of God's Word. And we see that before Jesus comes into the synagogue and reads a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. Now, they don't like what Jesus has to say after He's done reading that, because He's describing His role as the Messiah. But we see evidence that that's how the people of God living under that old covenant would glorify Him, by reading His Word. And we find out when the church is established that Scripture, that God's Word, was something that was vital to the life of the early church. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, among other things, Paul encourages this young minister, Timothy, to make sure he devotes himself to the public reading of Scripture. God's Word is powerful and it's important. And that's why in our worship services, we always take time for public reading of God's Word. And we have Scripture, and one of our men comes up and reads the Scripture out loud. And we try to follow along and to read with him. There are Bibles that are provided there for you if you don't have one. And if you don't have a Bible, if you would just see one of us after a worship service, we'd love to give you a copy of God's Word. We think it's vitally important. And so that's what we want to do. If you want to take one of those Bibles, there's a table of contents there right in the front that can help you find where we'll be reading from. And we'd encourage you to read along, because as we seek to base our lives on what God has told us, we want to make sure that His Word guides us. And so Larry is going to come and to read Scripture for us, and let's reflect on the power of Scripture.
Scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Acts chapter 10, 34 through 43. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins.
The great privilege and blessing to get to devote ourselves full time to ministry with the Graymere congregation. And so at various times when we worship together, one of us or maybe another will be standing here and will, after a reading of God's Word, talk about what God's Word says. And I want you to know that it's very important. All we're doing is trying to help all of us in our understanding of God's Word. It's not that those who stand here believe we have some sort of special knowledge to understanding God's Word. We just have the privilege of getting to devote some time to it and to devote some energy into doing our best to study God's Word so that we can help others do the same. But with anything we do in life, we're looking to God's Word, not the Word of any one individual, not the Word of any one person, but what does God have to say about it? And so as we come to this passage that we just read, it's an interesting passage, and it may not be one that you've spent much time thinking about before. I want to share with you just a little bit of background to help us understand what's taking place in Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts in the New Testament gives us an incredible insight into the history of the church that Jesus established. We see in Acts chapter 2 this incredible moment where for the first time the word of Jesus is preached, the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, and not only can be saved, can become a part of this church. And when we get to Acts chapter 10, we're at an important point because we find out that this is the time, in Acts chapter 10, where the first time this message is preached to a Gentile, someone who wasn't a Jew. And then in Acts chapter 8, we see the word reaching Samaria. But this was not someone who was part of that people group. This is someone who was what they would call a Gentile, that just sort of stood for everyone else. And yet as Peter comes to know this message that God gives him and God guides him here, and he begins to preach to him, he makes some very important statements to Cornelius, this individual and his household, that I think are important to us as well. Did you notice in verse 35 when he talks about God not showing partiality, he says, "In every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." That's exciting news. That means no matter where we are from or what we have done in our past, if we decide to fear God and turn our lives over to him and do what's acceptable to him, we can be saved. That's exciting. That lets us know that as long as I have time and opportunity to become a child of God. Not only that, but he describes what happened with Jesus. You'll notice he used terms in verses 38 and 39, like God anointed Jesus. Well, that was very important when we think about the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. These terms that are used to describe Jesus indicated he was more than just a teacher. This was one who had a very special message, one who was the Son of God. And he talked about the good healing that he did, which proved that God was with him. And then notice this statement, "We are witnesses of all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Peter isn't just making these statements in a vacuum. Peter was there. Peter had a courtside seat to see what was taking place as Jesus performed these incredible miracles. And so he's describing those. And not only that, but in verse 43, he says, "Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That's incredible news. Forgiveness of sins is possible. And how does Peter say it's possible? Peter is telling Cornelius and his household that what you need to do is to believe this message that I've preached to you, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what does it take to believe? What does belief entail in Scripture? Is it just sort of checking off a box in my mind saying, well, I think that's true. I agree that's true. So now I believe. Or is it something more? As we look through the book of Acts especially and look through the New Testament, we find out that it's never enough just to say, okay, I agree with this, but that belief requires action. In fact, belief carries with it this idea of obedience to the one that I believe. And as we turn through the pages of Acts time after time, people who believe in Jesus don't just say, well, I'm check that box off now. They find obedience. It's an obedient faith to God. It's saying, not only do I believe, but because I believe, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to live differently. And I'm going to confess, not just once, although they do that confessing Jesus as Lord, but also for every day confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And every single conversion we read in the book of Acts, we have individuals that have done those things and they become baptized, or they're immersed in water. Now again, if you're not familiar with maybe that practice, or maybe as you read through Scripture, that's a little confusing to say, why would you be immersed in water? But we find out that that's the point at which we come into contact with forgiveness of sins. In fact, when Paul would talk in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 6, he would describe baptism as being buried with Christ. That's why it's so important. We're identifying with the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And when Peter's asked that important question in Acts chapter 2, when he has a group of people that has heard the same message we just read here in Acts chapter 10, that this Jesus is the Son of God, and they crucified him, and they wonder, how are we supposed to respond? And Peter says, well, you need to repent. In other words, you need to start living differently. And you need to be baptized. And that simple message is a thread that runs all the way through the New Testament and all the way up until 2013. It's a message that's for each one of us. As long as we have time, as long as the Lord gives us time here, we have the chance to become Christians. And how do we do that? We do what they did in the New Testament. We decide that because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we're not just going to say, well, I agree with that, I've checked off that box, I'm moving on. We're going to have true obedient belief and faith that's going to prompt us to serve God instead of ourselves, to confess His name, to be buried with Him in the act of baptism. And as we do that, we know we've come into contact with that forgiveness. Every time we come together to worship, we offer the chance for someone to respond to this invitation. We believe this is so important. We offer this opportunity every time we worship, because this message from God is a message that's for all of us, and it's for you here today. And so what will happen in just a moment is that Ken will come up and lead us in song, and as we sing, we'll all stand up, and you'll have the opportunity, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to study God's Word more, if you'd like prayers from this congregation, this is such a wonderful resource of brothers and sisters in Christ who'd love to help you and to encourage you. I can guarantee you that if you walk down this aisle and you come and you sit on one of these front pews, you will have people immediately that will respond to want to encourage you, to put their arm around you, and to see what they can do to help. It's a blessing of God's family. And it's an opportunity that we offer every time we come together. And so as we think about these things, if you need to respond to this message, if you need to become a Christian, or if there's some other way we can help you, please come forward and let us know as we stand and as we sing together.